I want to entitle my message tonight, From Blame to Leaping. From Blame to Leaping. And if I were to give it a subtitle, just to explain a little bit more, would be, Your Miracle Could Be Moments Away. Amen? And, you know, that sounds like a cliche, and probably it is in many circles, and I don't want it to sound like a cliche because I really mean it. Our miracle is just around the corner. And I don't think there's a single person here tonight that does not have a need. Amen? Is anybody here tonight that doesn't have a need? Put up your hand. Oh, and I'm glad I'm on planet Earth. There's not a human being, and I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's the biggest preacher you've ever seen preaching, but every one of us are human beings, and we depend upon the Lord, and God has got something for every one of us. Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may not be that your life is to be like some of the great preachers you've ever seen. You may never ever stand behind the pulpit, and if you're not called to do that, don't wish it upon yourself. Because it's a great responsibility, amen. And it's not as easy as it looks. But God has got something for every one of us, amen. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Jude 1, verse 20. And this is a key that I think, as every one of us are waiting upon the Lord, this would be a good thing to follow. Jude 1, 20 says, But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's something about praying in the Holy Ghost that is really pretty awesome. And that is, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I don't really have to be involved. Amen. My head's not in the way. When I believe in God for a miracle, often what we do as Christians is we pray around the problem that we see, as if God isn't already aware of it. Amen. How do you know what I'm talking about? We pray and tell God what my problem is, and yet God actually knows it already. He actually knew before I got into the problem that I was going to get into the problem. So He's fully aware of my shortcomings. He's fully aware of my strengths. He's fully aware of my past. And He absolutely knows what He wants to do with my future. And so some of the things of my past and some of the mistakes of my past, and I'm going to talk about myself here tonight, because we all stand in this place. You know, a lot of preachers you'll see get up and they'll talk as if you're the only one that needs to help. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, they need it just as much. So I'm going to talk in the first person. But every one of us have faced issues in the past and things that we've done, and it would be so nice to be able to turn back the clock and just step back in time and go and, you know, change something that happened 10 years ago. I mean, we'd love to do that.
Yes.
Amen. That would be good, wouldn't it? But unfortunately, the past is the past. It's gone. It's unchangeable. But the future, from this moment forth, is changeable. And that's where the miracle comes in. Amen. And so, praying, the Bible says, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me make a statement. Watching the plan of God unfold takes faith and patience. How many know about that?
Yeah.
Watching the plan of God unfold for your life takes faith and patience. How many have had a prophetic word over your life that sounded so wonderful? I mean, it was almost like, this shouldn't really be me. I'm sure this person got, this prophet got the wrong person. It can't, God can't possibly mean me. I mean, I've had some prophecies over my life that I'm going, Lord have mercy, either they were a false prophet, or, you know, I've just been lagging behind here somewhere along the line. But I can guarantee you, if the Lord were to stand here tonight and talk to every one of us personally, we would not believe it if He told you what He planned to do with your life. We would not believe it. How many of you ever said, Lord, could you just give us a clue? Could you just tell us a little in advance? And I think the Lord absolutely knows that if we were to try to do that right now, most of us wouldn't believe it. We would shake our head and disbelieve and say, ah, it can't be true. That's not me. You know, I could never do that. Because we look at our circumstances. We look at the promise of God based upon our own understanding, based upon our own abilities, and the promise of God has got nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my strength, has nothing to do with my power and my ability, but has everything to do with Him. Amen?
Amen.
He's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. Now, just because I don't see miracles in my life every day, and we probably do, we don't even realize what's really happening. But just because you don't see it every day, you may be praying for something and you don't see it in a year, you don't see it in 2 years, does not mean that miracles do not happen. Let me tell you, they happen all the time. They may not just happen on your timing. They may not just happen according to the way I think it should happen. Amen? I mean, I love to tell God how to operate His kingdom. I mean, I would have, you know, the best job in town. I would have a fat back balance, and I would have a nice car, and I would have all the things that human beings want to have. Amen. And thank God, you know, I'm not His spoiled kid. I'm His blessed kid. So God's not going to spoil me with things that are going to take my attention. But, you know, that's going off the track here. So watching the plan of God unfold takes faith and patience. Those are two things we don't really like to hear. In the spirit, it is fun. But in the flesh, it is frustrating. In the flesh, it can get scary. Amen? Because you're waiting upon the Lord and you're looking at circumstances and you're looking at everyday things and you're looking at maybe your job or lack thereof, or you're looking at your bank balance or lack thereof, whichever way it comes, and to try to visualize the blessing of God in the midst of all of that, your mind can do a trick on you. Amen. And so that's why praying in the Spirit is so important, because when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says your mind is unfruitful. So when we're waiting upon the plan of God to unfold, discouragement can come because we don't see the miracle happening. How many of you ever got discouraged and you thought to yourself, well, I'll just give up? You know? Well, think about that for a moment. Give up what? What are we going to give up? We're going to give up the Lord? I don't think so. Because without Him, it was worse.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Without the Lord, it was worse. So we cannot give God up. There's nothing we can give up. So well, I'm just tired of this now. I'm just going to give up. Give up what? What am I going to give up? I can't get rid of the Holy Ghost just because my mind tells me so. Amen. The Bible says He's married to the backslider, and I'm not backslidden, so how am I going to give up? See, it's just not possible. Amen?
Amen.
And so, discouragement is one thing, and that's very human. And that's why worship and spending time in the presence of the Lord and the refreshing of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord, all of those things are so important, because in the midst of discouragement, God will strengthen you on the inside, and you'll get up and say, wow, I feel so different. I feel encouraged on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. So it's a commandment, really. The Lord's telling us we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 to 19 says, when we pray in the Spirit, our minds, if I say minds, are unfruitful. That means unproductive. It means that it doesn't matter what's going on in your head. It's what's going on the inside of you. Now, I don't know how many of you have been baptized in the Spirit and praying in tongues. How many praying in tongues yet? If you haven't, if you don't, then I want to pray for you tonight that you receive the gift of tongues, because it is the prayer language of the Spirit. See, a lot of places say, well, you know, you need an anointing to pray in tongues. Well, there's the gift of tongues and interpretation. That's one thing. But the prayer language, which is praying in tongues, edifying yourself, comes from the Spirit of God who is on the inside of you. And so when you learn to pray in the Spirit, it's like it doesn't matter what goes on in this head. Have you ever been praying in the Spirit and you suddenly realize your mind has been thinking about all kinds of things?
Yeah.
And I had one lady come to me in the prayer line. She said, I need prayer. I said, what's your problem? She said, I think. I said, well, thank God you think. I'm so glad you didn't come and say, I don't think of my prayer for thinking. No, our brains are programmed. God made our brains to think. Our minds will think. And they're stimulated by various things. And so that's the beauty of praying, the prayer language of the Spirit, is when you pray in tongues, It doesn't really matter what's going on in your head. Now, I wouldn't, as a rule, just let your head just think about everything. If you catch yourself doing it, bring it in. Bring your thoughts in. Bring your thoughts into the Lord, amen? Because that's going to help you even more. But the Bible says, actually, when you're praying in the Spirit and your mind is unfruitful, God is saying it has nothing to do with what's going on in your head. Amen. Hallelujah. How many like that idea? Amen. Because this mind can really run, play havoc on you. Amen. And so God gave us this mechanism to do this. Hallelujah. So we can pray with the understanding. That's a good thing. You can pray with understanding. And you know, it's really just talking to God. That's what prayer is. I've been in some of these prayer meetings where for several hours, people just have a list of stuff. They're telling the Lord what to do. And at the end of the day, you know, you go home and absolutely nothing happens because we've been instructed the Lord what to do. And God's probably saying, son, if I don't do half of what you've told me, you know, it's going to create a problem. I just simply cannot do half of what, in fact, I probably couldn't do all of what you said. And so it's really seeking the mind of God, and that's when you pray in the Spirit, that's what will happen. It'll get the mind of God finally on the inside of you so that you can begin to listen to the voice of God and hear what he's saying to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows that the miracle is closer than we realize. And you can go from lame to leaping in a moment of time. Amen. There was a man at the gate, beautiful, who was lame from his mother's womb. And they led him at the gate every day to seek, you know, for money, to beg for money. And he wasn't even thinking about his dilemma. He was lying there thinking about money. And in a way, that's kind of like how we should be. See, because when we lie there thinking about our dilemma, we think about our problem. All we do is we just make that problem bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. How many have ever worried yourself out of your problem? How many ever worried at night and worried and worried all day long, and finally after a couple of days of worry, your problem was sorted out? See, worry doesn't answer the problem. And so this man, in a way, it's kind of like, I kind of saw this as a type of how we should be. He was lame from his mother's womb, but he lay there every day, and all he was thinking about was money. See, because people would come and feel sorry for him and give. And I guarantee he probably never ever thought about his lameness. You know, I had an accident, a motorcycle accident about maybe 25 years ago. That's why I limped a little bit, because my one leg shorter than the other. And I lay in hospital for 3.5 months in traction. The first month was the hardest because I wasn't used to being inactive. I mean, I'm an active person. I have little sleep. I maybe sleep 5-6 hours a night, and then I've got to get up and do things. And so lying in bed is not my favorite thing. Amen. I know that may sound strange, but it ain't. I love to get up and do things. And so here I am for the first month struggling to get out of this hospital. And yet my leg was in traction. I had a pin through this leg here, right through the bone. And I'm strapped up there in traction, and all I can do is just turn a little bit that way, a little bit that way, but that's about as far as I could go. In fact, the first couple of weeks, as I turned, you could hear a grinding sound in your leg. And when I spoke to my doctor, he laughed. He said, that's okay. He said, it's just the two ends scraping. And he said, it's a good thing because it causes bleeding, and the bleeding will cause the bone to grow quicker. And I thought, that sounds really awful. It's like I'm falling apart, you know. But anyway. But you know that after about 5 weeks, I realized that I could go nowhere. It didn't matter how I could struggle, my leg was going to just heal naturally. And I just lay there and actually got used to lying in bed. And it actually became a place of ministry because people would come to visit me, to cheer me up. And then I was used to preaching every week, and so I had nowhere to preach. So there was people, I'm going to start preaching. So I would start to minister to them. And when we were done, an hour later, they say, man, you know, we came here to cheer you up. And people really cheered us up. He really encouraged us. And we were so blessed to come and see you. And so I lay there, and I got quite content, and I'm writing a book. One of my books I wrote in hospital, lying on my back, and wrote my book. And, And the point I'm trying to make is this, is that I got accustomed to being in that condition. And I stopped worrying about trying to get out of it, you see. And so, now I'm not saying, you know, yeah, the hospital is the best place to be. It is. But when you're in the midst of the problem, you can learn to be content in the Lord, not in the problem, but be content in the Lord, because God has a miracle for every one of us. Amen. And so worry doesn't get you any closer to God's miracle. Worry doesn't help you. Fear and anxiety will actually make it worse. But God is full of surprises. Amen? And He can do anything. When I say anything, I say it like you actually believe it. God can do anything. Anyone say anything?
Anything.
All right, now, you got to put some breath behind it now, okay? And I want you to participate because you're expressing faith in what I'm saying here tonight. God can do anything. And that anything is for every one of us. Amen. And so, He's full of surprises. And actually, in an instant, God can, in a moment of time, just change our circumstances right around. You know, about a month ago, we were just really in a desperate financial need, and I had no meetings booked, and it was getting towards the end of the month, and I mean, I'm talking about really, really, really in a desperate situation. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I said, okay, this is in your hands. I mean, ordinarily in the natural, you know, one should be panicking and, you know, just go to pieces, but I had like a blanket of peace just come upon me. And I just simply said, Lord, I thank you that whatever happens, whether you organize meetings just suddenly for me or, you know, somehow there's somebody out there that you can touch and you know, just prompt their hearts to send us some finances, you know, whichever way you're going to do it, I just thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. And you know, a day later, we got a note on Facebook. Somebody that had been in our meetings about 9, 10 years ago, they got really blessed in our meetings, said that they were sitting talking about us and talking about the blessing that they'd received in our ministry 10 years ago, and they wanted to send us some money. And I said, wow, Lord, this is awesome. I said, Lord, I believe there are other people out there that you've actually spoken to, and I ask you right now to jog their, you know, their attention. And it was about 3 days later, I get an email from a friend of mine to say that they had felt they wanted to send us some money. And you know that those two people, the money that came in was what we needed to meet our expenses for that month.
Wow.
And I said, you know, God is so good because Adventists get their finances from meetings, okay? That's how it works. I mean, we don't, you know, we travel around and do meetings and so on and so forth, but in this economy, I mean, more and more churches aren't having special meetings because they're all struggling themselves, you know? But I said, Lord God, God is so faithful because they're, you know, I could have looked at that circumstance and just gone to me and said, oh, God, you know, Lord, I'll just get up, I don't know what to do. But when you trust God, when you put your faith in Him, when you lean upon Him and not upon your own understanding, God has got a miracle for you. Hallelujah. Amen? Does that encourage you?
Yes.
Amen?
Whatever
it is, whether you're looking for a job, don't look at the circumstances, don't look at the economy, don't look at how bad things out there, God has got something for you, for everyone. Amen? If it's physical, if you need a physical healing, God's got something for every one of you. Amen? I mean, in surprising ways. I want to share this little story because it really illustrates the point really well. But I was, many years ago, I was in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and I got a invitation to teach on the gifts of the Spirit in a Spirit-filled Presbyterian church. And I don't know, they hadn't really been Spirit-filled for many years, but they wanted me to come teach on the gifts. And so every Wednesday I would go there and they would put the chairs in a circle. And what I would do is sit down and teach. And then when I was done, I would go to everyone and pray over every single person and just wait upon the Lord to exercise the gift of God to whatever they need may be, whether it was a prophetic word or word of knowledge or whether it was for healing. So yeah, this particular night while I was sitting in the meeting preaching, there was a lady sitting directly opposite me. And everybody was enjoying the meeting except for her. She was looking at me. I mean, it looked like she was glaring at me the whole time. I mean, I thought there was something wrong with me. You know? And I was trying to be nice and trying to smile and, you know, trying to draw her out, but she kept just glaring at me the whole time. So finally, in my mind, now while preaching, this is how my mind's going. I'm thinking, well, she obviously came along, she's Presbyterian, she doesn't like what I'm preaching, and so, you know, I mean, I'm just going to ignore her. And I thought, well, okay, what I'll do is when I get up to pray for people, I'll go down the line and pray for them. And when it comes to her, I'll miss her and go to the next person and pray for that person. But then I realized to myself, well, wait a minute, that's going to look really strange that I don't pray for her. That people are going to wonder why I missed it. I don't want to single her out. And I know she's not enjoying the meeting, but I'll just go ahead and just pray for her anyway. She'll probably get mad at me and slap me upside the head, but I'll just pray for her anyway. So I went down the line, and as I got to her, now I had no clue how to pray, what to do, and I closed my eyes, and actually that's probably not a good thing if you think somebody's mad at me, because the Bible says, watch and pray, you know. And so I closed my eyes, and I put my hand on her head, and as I did that, I felt a pain coming to my head, right here, my forehead. I felt quite a strong pain come there, and in my spirit's eye, I could see written on her forehead the word migraine. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me, lady, do you suffer from migraine headaches? She said, I have had such an excruciating migraine the entire night that I've been battling to look at you. I could hardly see you. That's why she was pulling her face. And of course, I felt so bad because I've been thinking bad things about her. I've been thinking that she didn't like me. And so I let my head get in the way. But when I let my heart come back in line, God was able to show me that there was a miracle waiting for this lady. See, so the minute she said yes, she said, I've taken several painkillers, but nothing has helped. And I said, Jesus is going to help you tonight. And as I prayed, Lord, I thank you right now that your anointing flows in and lifts every bit of pain off of her head right now. And I did this with my hand, and she looked and she said, it's gone. And I said, really? And it lifted instantly. And she just began laughing. I mean, it's amazing to see the transformation in this lady. Now, I've been blessed never to have a migraine headache, but I've heard from people that migraine headaches are not good at all. I mean, it can be really, really bad. And you know, anyway, God instantly healed her. You know, the amazing thing about that is that I probably have a 90% success rate of praying for people with migraine headaches since that, from that day onwards. You know, anybody with a migraine headache, it just goes like that, just instantly. So it just showed me that night that God loves people. See, God knows exactly what's going on in every one of our lives. He's not surprised. He's not surprised. It's not when something goes wrong with my life, it's not like a curveball just got thrown at God. I said, oops, I wasn't expecting that. Man, that's going to be a tricky one. I don't know what I'm doing about this one. I better just go back and consult the angels and maybe Jesus, maybe my son has an idea what he can do. No, he doesn't throw a curveball at God. God's not shocked by anything that goes on in my life. Amen? But he has an answer for everything. See, whatever it is that you're going through right now, God has got an answer. God's not answerless. God's never at a loss as to what to do with my life. He knows exactly how to fix me up. He made me, and he knows how to change me. He knows how to fix me up. He knows how to bless me. He knows how to provide for me. And I've got to remember that. I've got a daily walk in the knowledge that God knows how to fix me up and change me. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And it's difficult because, I mean, you got to think about Judy and about Barry and all the stuff they've had to deal with this last year. You know, and I know that you told me early on that you felt you You're very aged. If this message, you don't look like you're very aged, so that may help you something. Amen. But the point is just that God knows. And I mean, I don't know. We have to face these things in life. And life is a strange animal. It's never perfect. This is not a perfect world we live in. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be, you know, the most amazing place ever. The most amazing place is going to be heaven. Amen.
Yes, amen.
But God has a miracle for every one of us. Amen. And we can walk from miracle to miracle to miracle. And we've seen it in our own lives. We've seen it in other people's lives. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you tonight that God's got something supernatural for every one of you. Hallelujah. He's got a surprise up his sleeve. And he can take the littlest thing and turn it into the biggest blessing. Amen? He took the little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 3 fishes. And he fed 5,000. And after they'd eaten, they picked up 12 boxes of food. I mean, that's a deal.
Yes.
Amen? That's a deal. That means God can multiply food. You know, we've experienced it. My wife will, I'm pointing there because she's sitting in the recorder. But my wife can testify about times in our lives when, before we came to America, we were going through a really difficult time financially, and how the Lord literally stretched food. I mean, even we had in South Africa, we have maids there because a lot of people looking for work, and so the tribal people come and work in homes. And our maid said one day to my wife, "I don't know how it is that you can take so little food and feed all of us, and we're not hungry." See, it was like the Lord would just take that food and stretch it. And so I don't care if He's got to stretch your bread or stretch your food or supernaturally bring finances into your life, whatever it is that you need. But God has an answer for you, no matter what you've been through, no matter how bleak the days gone by have been, no matter how bad it was, no matter how difficult the life you've had. But God, you're going to say, but God is able to meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's able. He's able. And sometimes we need to hear this over and over again.
True.
See, because we go home and then look at our circumstances and say, well, I don't know. He's able for Judy, he's able for Barry, but he's not able for me. Why? Is there something special about them? I mean, they're special people, but there's nothing special about them.
Yeah.
Amen? They are ordinary people, not ordinary, just ordinary. Maybe Barry. Sorry, Barry. Couldn't help that. He wasn't here to defend himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the Bible says it. Isaiah 43, verse 19. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, the wilderness, there are no roads there. See, there's no road in the wilderness. But God says, I'll make it. If you're in the wilderness, I'll make the road for you. That means I'll make it possible for you to get through the wilderness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You don't need a GPS in the natural, because you've got a GPS on the inside called the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you and guide you to all truth. Amen. And so, if you're in the midst of the wilderness, learn to listen to the GPS on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, 3 of you got excited about
that.
All 3 of you got excited.
Yeah.
I said, learn to listen to the GPS on the inside, the Holy Spirit, the anointing on the inside of you that will help you. So there's no road and there's no river in the desert, but God will make it if necessary. He will put it there. He can do it. He has the ability. We know because He created the universe out of nothing. Hallelujah. Out of nothing. Glory to God, out of nothing. I love these Big Bang theories, you know. Well, there was a big bang, and then all of this stuff happened. So, okay. So what was there before the big bang? Was there nothing? Well, they can't explain it. And if there was nothing, well, somebody must have put nothing there. See, because all of a sudden, there's all this material out of nothing. All this material. I mean, this earth is 11,000 miles in diameter. It's 11,022. I've forgotten my geography now. But anyway, it's small by comparison. And Earth fit into the sun about 300 times or even more. I forgot, but it's a lot. And the sun is a star in the middle of the Milky Way, which is a galaxy with 100 million, that is 100 million light years, 100,000 light years across from end to end. A light year is the time light travels, takes to travel in 1 year. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And if you take light traveling for one whole year, that's how big a light year is. Well, the Milky Way is 100,000 light years across. Think about how big that is. You can't even get your head around those numbers. See? It's like a big dish sitting in space. And we're on the end of the dish somewhere here. Now there are thousands of those Milky Ways, of those galaxies in the universe. There are thousands of them. The closest one to us is a galaxy called Andromeda. And I don't mean this to be a teaching on astronomy now. I'm just illustrating the point of how big God is. The closest one to us is Andromeda. And that's like 4 billion light years away. So if you could never travel there. There's nothing on Earth that could get you there. I mean, it's impossible. And yet God did it. Amen. You know what the scientists did? They took the Hubble Space Telescope that's up in space. It orbits around about 200 miles up around Earth. It orbits. And they focused this thing on a spot of the space. On Earth, if you were to take a quarter and you were to hold it up, and the space that quarter fills was blank to the natural eye. They focused Hubble into that little blank space there and zoomed into that space. And guess what they found? Thousands of galaxies just like the Milky Way sitting in that spot there. And I'm going, how awesome is God?
Yes.
How awesome is God?
Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. If he could do all of that there, my Lord, we're nothing.
Yeah.
Our problems are nothing. Our little circumstances are like, the Lord just said, and it's gone. I mean, he doesn't even have to say, it's gone. See, that's how good he is. And I just got to get my head around this and say, well, Lord, you're such a big God, and yet you care for me. You love me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us, and he cares for us, and he provided for us. And so, miracles are for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Miracles are for you tonight. Amen. Phew. I just preach myself happy. Hallelujah. He is the God of the suddenly. All he's really doing is asking for my cooperation. He said, look, my son, if you just trust me, I promise you, I'll see you through. I'll lead you and guide you. I'll take you through. You will end up in heaven one day. You will be victorious. You will come into the glorious realm of my presence. But you'll come through victorious. Amen? Because I love you and I care for you with an everlasting care. Hallelujah. Acts 2 verse 1. He is the God of the suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly, this could be your suddenly. I mean, you could be sitting at home, eating a cheese sandwich, and drinking coffee. I know some of you are thinking about that already, so I don't want to mention it. And suddenly, hallelujah, people say, well, I'm going to be real spiritual for God. Good miracle. God doesn't need me to be spiritual. God just needs me to be willing and receptive and open. Amen.
Yes.
So when your head tells you no, you tell your head, shut up, head. It ain't got nothing to do with this deal. This has got nothing to do. Shut up, head. Be quiet. If your head doesn't stop, then minister to it. Take your hand, hold it about this far, bring it in with great speed. Teach your head a lesson. Now, don't do that too often, because then you've got to pray for brain damage. Amen. That would not be good. Hallelujah. So here's the God of suddenlies. I mean, this, I'm talking about suddenlies. It could be tomorrow. It could be on Wednesday. It could be next Friday. He's the God of suddenlies. He wants to bless us, and he wants to surprise us, and he wants to fill us with all kinds of things. The Bible says, the eye does not see, neither does the ear hear, neither is it in the heart of man. All that God has made ready and keeps ready for them who love him and hold him in affectionate reverence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what do I have to do to be ready for the suddenly? Well, rejoicing is really the good key. Amen. I have to learn to rejoice in the midst of whatever I'm going through. Now, I can choose to be gloomy. And you know, we've all done that. Amen. I can choose to sit down and feel sorry for myself. We've all done that. Amen. How many of you have never felt sorry for yourself? No, oh, well, praise God. we've all done that, see. But there's another choice, and that is to rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. To rejoice, to speak in tongues, to pray in this prayer language, to fellowship with God, to press into God, and keep in a joyful attitude, because the miracle's going to come. Look, there's something about that that's good anyway, because if you're going through something, and for whatever reason, hasn't done the miracle now, and there's a period of time before we can do it, because sometimes God has to fix some other things up in our lives before that miracle can come. So we may as well be happy while he's busy doing it.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
It's like going to the dentist, and he says, would you like me to drill would you prefer happy gas?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to take happy gas. Because then I can get happy while he's brilliant, see. And so we may as well rejoice, because it's like some Holy Ghost happy gas that God's going to give us and keep us happy and keep us full and keep us blessed and keep us in the place of expectation or expectancy where God can do a miracle for every one of us. Amen? Hallelujah. So rejoice. Glory to God. And all right, let me just get back to that man of the day. There he was lying, not thinking about being lame, he was thinking about money. And Peter and John come along and they say, well, we don't have any money, but we want something else that's good for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man went from lame to leaping in a split second. Now, can you imagine what went through his mind?
Wow.
I mean, he was probably still thinking, this is impossible. You must be dreaming. This can't be you. This is not. You're seeing a vision. I mean, can you imagine, God? You've never walked in your life. Never. And yet here you are. 1 minute you're lying in your back, and the next minute you're leaping and walking and praising God. That's what a miracle is. Amen. A miracle is just that. It's supernatural. It's beyond natural. It's a supernatural divine intervention of God in the affairs of man. Where man cannot, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God, because he is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. Amen.
It has to be in his timing, because Jesus went by that same lame man how many times?
Yeah. Well, probably because he wouldn't have been ready. See, remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? He said the Lord had been in that condition. The Bible said he had a deep-seated problem. So it was it wasn't just a healing, but he obviously had other issues as well. And Jesus said to him, you know, do you want to be well? And the man said, well, Lord, I've been around here for 30 whatever years, and I've been waiting for somebody to help me to get in. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, no, don't worry about that. He said, pick up your bed and walk. See, he was waiting for someone to come and help him to put him in the pool. And so he wasn't ready, but when Jesus came, he spoke a word, and the man picked up his bed and began to walk. Amen? So, see, I don't know. We don't know. I remember waiting 2 years to receive a healing And I shared this testimony here before, so I'm going to share it again because some of you may have heard it before, and so you'll get bored. And so I don't want you falling asleep while I'm telling it, but anyway. But I had a hernia, and it used to give me tremendous pain when I'd eat some food. And I thought it was really serious, and when the doctor told me what it was, I kind of put it out of my mind and just watched what I ate. But it was 2 years later, I'd actually not forgotten about it, but I learned to live with the circumstance. And I was sitting in the front row in a meeting, and at the end of the preaching, the pastor said, there's somebody here that has a hernia, and I didn't want to put it in my hand because, you know, a hernia could be a hernia in the stomach, and I didn't want to steal somebody else's blessing. So I waited, and there were like 400 people in the meeting, and nobody owned up. And so finally he said, well, there's another name, and somebody said, I have this hernia, or I have a hernia. And as he said that, I put up my hand. He said, is it you? I said, yes. And he just pointed at me like that. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that from this moment forth, you will not be troubled by that again. And I felt a little whirlwind right there, just like a little fire burning right there in my belly. It just began to whirl around here. And when I went home that night, I had a big plate of leftover dinner from Sunday lunch. I mean, I ate this dinner. Normally, I'd wake up 2-3 in the morning with terrible pain in my stomach. I slept like a baby the whole night, woke up the next morning. And everything I couldn't eat, like spicy food, you know, jalapeno and curry and things that I love, and onions and all those good things that I couldn't eat before, I can eat them now. That was 30 years ago. See, maybe 35 years ago. God, I don't know why it took 2 years for that miracle to happen, but I don't care. I received it, and it's been a blessing as I've shared that testimony with other people to realize that somebody may pray for you now, or you may be believing now, and you may only see it happen in 2 years' time. But I want to tell you something that it still doesn't mean, it still means that God has a miracle for every one of us. Amen? Don't be discouraged. Keep trusting because the answer is there. Amen? Hallelujah. The answer is there. Glory to God. I mean, I wish I could solve everybody's problem, just, you know, wave a wand and it's all gone, and, you know, everything's fine. You know, we'll give you a prophetic word that tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to, you know, be different and all that stuff. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But I can tell you something. You can go from lame to leaping in a second. In a split second. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has made it ready, keeps it ready, and is ready to give it to every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. When we don't know what to do, God's plan is still perfect. When I don't know what to do, God's plan is still perfect. It doesn't change God's plan. God's plan is not imperfect just because I don't know what to do, just because I failed or I've messed up. God's plan is still perfect. Amen? Our circumstances are never a curveball to God. His love is steadfast and His plan is unchanging. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, well, I guess we can wrap this thing up. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, therefore encourage, admonish, and exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another. That's what the Bible says. So we need to edify and build up and strengthen one another. That means I'm supposed to encourage you and you're supposed to encourage me. Amen? Now, let me just put that, let me reverse it, because I'm encouraging you tonight. Let me say this to you. When you are going through circumstances that are beyond your control, one of the best ways to get a victory is to find somebody else and encourage them. I tell you right now, it doesn't make sense because you say to yourself, well, how can I encourage them when I'm going through a circumstance? But let me tell you what I do for you. It's something about givingness that we give unto you. You're giving to someone else, you're encouraging them, you're being a blessing, and it comes back on you. And I've often done this. I'm in the midst of a problem, whatever we're going through, I'll just go out and just start encouraging somebody. Invariably, somebody will call me on the phone, and I'll end up phoning and encourage them over the phone, or while I'm preaching, or whatever, I'm ministering. And then when I look again, the problem that I had, God's already sorted out. He's been taken care of because I was busy with the things of God and encouraging others. Amen?
Amen.
It does something for you. It'll help you. Hallelujah. It'll help you. So find somebody tomorrow and go and encourage them. Amen? Now don't walk up and say, well, you know, God loves you and I don't tell you right now, God loves you. But look happy about it. Amen? Look excited about it. I mean, get up there and say, listen, God loves you. Hallelujah. And just begin to speak over their life and just be a blessing to them. Amen? All right, let me just sum this whole thing up and then we're going to pray for people. Watching God's plan unfold, I said, takes faith and patience. It's fun in the spirit, in the flesh. It's sometimes scary. So, what's the answer? Let's stay in the spirit. If you stay in the flesh, it's going to be difficult. If you stay in the flesh, it's going to be scary. When you stay in the spirit, you're always on the edge of the miracle that's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen? Your miracle is minutes away. If Jesus could use a little boy's lunch to feed 5,000, he has many creative things that he can use to bless you. See, so, all right, you may not have a little boy with lunch and you may not have to feed 5,000, but he could use some other method. I mean, there could be something else that God could use to bless you. Amen? You could be walking along the street and you could look down and all of a sudden you flip around and look and there's a coin lying there. You pick it up and it's a rare coin and that coin is worth more money than you need. See, I'm just saying keep your heart open to God because something could happen. He could prompt you to go in a certain direction. He could prompt you to call somebody. He could prompt you to I don't know. God's got the answer. See, but just stay listening to his voice because when you do, he can tell you what he wants you to do that will help you to get out of where you are. Amen? Hallelujah. After all, if we're driving along and you're lost, what do? You stop and ask directions. As long as you ask the right person. I stop and ask directions, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Man, directions they gave me, certainly didn't get where I want to go in the opposite direction. We'll say, yeah, we'll just go down when you see that there are three big trees. At the third big tree, make a right. And then go down, you'll see a goat eating at the farmyard. You know, you just take a left there, and then there'll be a big rock, and then you'll see a couple of ants walking on the rock. I mean, you don't want that kind of direction. Okay, thanks very much. I'll turn my GPS on. All right. He is the God of suddenly. You know what I say? It's the God of suddenly.
God of suddenly.
That means suddenly.
Yes.
What does suddenly mean?
Suddenly.
It's a surprise. See, all of you got a surprise. Suddenly I shouted. Some of you jumped. Amen. See, suddenly means suddenly. It's just going to happen just suddenly. I mean, out of the blue, boom, boom. There it is. Amen? Suddenly. Glory to God. Well, suddenly. That's how he's going to do it. Hallelujah. So keep rejoicing until the suddenly happens. Keep rejoicing. Stay in the presence of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in that heavenly language so that your mind is unfruitful. So it doesn't matter what's going on you have, but build yourself up, edify yourself, strengthen yourself on the inside so that you can be in the place when that miracle suddenly happens to receive it. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then finally, when we don't know what to do, God's plan is still perfect. Our circumstances are never a curveball to God. His love is perfect and steadfast towards us. Amen? But just because you don't know what to do doesn't mean that God doesn't know what to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Because most of my problems, to be honest with you, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about them. I mean, I've got some things I'm leaving God for, and in the natural, I mean, I get to think about different things, and sure, I've tried a few things, and they never worked out. But I don't know what to do in the natural. But all I can tell you is that he's a good God, that he really does love us, and he really wants to provide for every one of us. Amen? How it's going to come through, I don't know. But all I can tell you is he knows. Amen?
Yeah.
Does that encourage you tonight?
Amen.
Are you encouraged tonight?
Good word.
Hallelujah. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he cares for you with